1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do you know when we leave this earth, where do you go? Where do people go? I'm asking you. Are you listening? If you were to die today, where would you go? Do you know you would go to heaven? There's some of you that do, but there's some of you that don't. Do you know if you would go to heaven? The Bible says, know ye not, or don't you know that the unrighteous, the people that are not righteous, shall not inherit the kingdom of God? And then he says, don't be deceived, don't be tricked. Neither fornicators, people having sex outside of marriage, lawful bounds, nor idolaters, and you know what? That fornicators, that could be more than just you having sex with somebody. You could be having it in your mind. That's what the Bible says. It says, if you look on a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery with her already in your heart. I want to share something with you that I'm hoping is going to just help you tremendously today. This message is for the lost, the people that don't know God, and for the saved, the people that do know God. The people that don't know God, this is going to tell you how you can know God. But this is to help bring you out of deception. When I went around the country, preaching, or even before I went around the country, when I would go out after I met Jesus, and God put it on my heart to start talking to every person. See, I didn't meet God until I was 20 years of age. And I had been in church a lot in my life. I had studied different religions because when I had been in church and did what churches told me to do, they didn't tell me how to get to Jesus. They just told me how to keep rules. How to live by a certain code of ethics. And so church did not help me to get to Jesus. The churches I went to as I grew up. So when I met Jesus at 20 years of age, I told you I was a drug dealer. And when I met him, I was so amazed at the reality of the real life of Jesus Christ. I was so amazed that I met him that day at 7:55 p.m. on a Thursday, I met Jesus, and I was so amazed that God put it inside of me. I wanted to go around and ask everybody, do you know Jesus? So the next day I went door to door, do you know Jesus? Oh yeah, I go to church. I ain't talking about church. Do you know Jesus? Oh yeah, I'm a Sunday school teacher. I ain't talking about that. Do you know Jesus? Oh yeah, my dad's a deacon. I ain't talking about that. Do you know Jesus? Oh yeah. He's a historical figure. Do you know Jesus? Not do you know about Jesus. Do you know Jesus? And that, the day I met Jesus, as a matter of fact, within just a few minutes, I was already telling somebody about Jesus. That my roommate came to pick me up. My motorcycle was in the shop when I got saved. And, the guy that helped me to come to Jesus, I said, you have to have me at a certain corner for my roommates to pick me up. My roommates came to pick me up, and I'm standing out on the highway, standing out on the road where I told them to meet me, and I was just yelling, hot dog, hallelujah, just met Jesus! They thought I had done some drugs. They thought I was, ODing right there on the street. So they picked me up, and they said, what happened to you? And I said, I just met Jesus! And they're like, they didn't know what I was talking about. They thought, like some of you, he's just crazy. The dude just did some drugs. He got some bad mescaline or something. He's like having a trip. He's having a flashback. Maybe he fell off a roof and landed on his head. Something's wrong. Or maybe he's just being himself and he's just crazy. But I met Jesus. Now, I don't know how somebody could meet Jesus and not tell others about it. I have no idea how that can happen. As soon as I met him, I couldn't quit talking about him. And then the next day, I went door to door asking everybody, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? I want you to know him. I want you not only to meet him, but I want you to have an intimate relationship with him every day, everywhere you go. When you're working and you're surrounded by unrighteousness, you're surrounded by guys using bad language and people lying and cheating one another, your bosses cheating people, I want you to have Jesus. I want you to have Jesus, so much Jesus, that it's like it's you and him. Somebody come up here. Steve, come up here. Somebody, come up here. I need somebody to lean on. Here, come here, come here, come here. Come here. Sit, 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 sit. I want you to have so much Jesus, it's like it's you and him hanging out together. You and him being best buddies. You and him, like, when you see stuff, not just judging other people. Anybody can point at somebody and talk about how bad they are or the bad stuff they're doing. My dad used to say, any fool can criticize, condemn, and complain. And most fools do. So let's don't be a fool. Let's don't be a fool. Let's be like Jesus. Thank you, sir. That's what I needed. Okay. You know, I gotta get some shorter shoelaces. These things keep coming undone. Okay, there you go. All right, are we okay? You know, I feel like I'm back home. My mom's dressing me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Don't go anywhere. I might need to hug you. Okay, hang on. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 through 11. I want you to read this because I want you to get this so much. Let me ask you a question before we get started. Maybe we already got started. Let me ask you a question right in the middle of this. Do you want to meet with God today? Show me, raise your hand. You want to meet with God today? Do you want to hear from God today? Right now, God, I want to hear from you. Whatever it would stop me from hearing you, please remove it, Jesus. Because I'm telling you, my desire is I want to know you if you're real. I want to hear from you. I need you in my life. You are my desire. Thank you, Jesus. Amen? You say amen, that means you're saying yes, I agree. Amen? All right. God says this, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters worshiping something besides God, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. That's talking about men being pansies, sissies, real soft. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you know what God's talking about? Nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, hurting one another or hurting themselves, nor thieves, nor covetous, wanting what somebody else has, nor drunkards. God doesn't call them alcoholics. He calls them drunkards. It's not a disease. It's a choice somebody makes. Nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. God says, I'm giving you my word. These people are not going to enter into heaven. Now look at verse 11. Because every one of you goes, oh man, somewhere on there you hit me. Or some people in here might say, man, I was there on the whole list. That's why I say to people, when I got saved, in the old dictionaries on the word sinner, it said C. Harvey, because I've done it all. I'm not bragging. I'm saying I wished I had not. But God, if God could save me, many people that I've brought to Jesus after I've given them my testimony, pimps, prostitutes, pushers, druggies, drunks, policemen, President's Corporation, two professional hitmen so far, when I witness to them, many of them have said to me, when I tell them where God saved me from, they'll say, wow, if God could save you, He could save me. Wow, if God would love you and forgive you and come to live inside of you, He could do that with me. And I said, that's right. We need to humble ourselves to lift others up. Do you understand? We need to reach out to people. Do you understand the majority of people around you are on their way to hell? Did you know that? The majority of people in this life, in this planet, are on their way to hell. The majority. Do you hear me? You can't witness to the wrong person. Everybody needs Jesus. Who's going to tell him if we don't? Look at verse 11. He gives this whole list of who's not going to heaven. And look what he says in verse 11. Are you there? Look at verse 11. Eyeballs on the page. Verse 11. And such were, notice the tense of the word, and such were some of you. But ye are, notice the tense of the word, you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And such were some of you. It was not when the apostles went out preaching, it wasn't for the prospect of collecting a bunch of saints to bring them into the church. It was about preaching the gospel of the kingdom to sinners, people that need it. Sinners were found over the face of the earth. They still are. And they preached that sinners might be converted unto God and made saints and constituted into a church. If you want to look up Psalm 50 and verse 5, it gives the definition of the word saint. A saint is not someone who what most people think a saint is. I'm a saint. Steve's a saint. Judy's a saint. Here's what a saint is. Psalm chapter 50, verse 5. One that has made a covenant with God by sacrifice. One that has made a covenant, entered into an agreement with God by sacrifice. Did you come to God and tell Him, I'm a sinner and there's nothing I have to offer you but the blood of Jesus? I'm offering you the blood of Jesus for my sin. Is that enough? And the Father said, that's what I accept. A blood offering. The blood, the perfect blood for your sin. Because sin has to be paid for. Sin kills. So my sin killed Jesus. And though I could have known Him for the 20 years before I did know Him, until I came to the understanding that I was a sinner and that I was responsible for my sin and I owed a sin debt to God. That's why inside you don't feel right with God until you're saved. And then after you are saved, when you sin, you don't feel right with God because you need to come back under that cleansing. You need to come back under and admit, Jesus, I'm the one. It's my sin that killed you. It's my sin that crucified you. It's my sin that nailed you to the cross. It's my sin that crammed that crown of thorns. And when you admit that and ask Jesus to forgive you, boom, you're not only forgiven. He says, now I'm going to cleanse you. I'm going to begin to work inside your heart to remove that root of why that fruit came in your life. That fruit of sin. It came because of a root. And God says, I will cleanse you. I will deal with you. That's where those two words, choose and cooperate. That's another place they come in. You need to choose to agree with God and then cooperate with what God does inside of you. I went to a man's house this week. He called me and he said, I just bought a house and it's got four bathrooms that I need you to come glaze. So I go over there and it's going to probably be about a $3,500 job doing his work. So I go over there to this huge house. I mean, you need bread crumbs to find yourself from one end of the house to the other. And I go in there And I started talking to them. I don't know how it happened. I just walked in there, felt like God was like saying, before we even got started on the work, I felt like God was saying, you need to talk to them about me. And I looked around, is there any signs that Jesus has been here? And I saw a cross. His wife's Catholic. And I saw this cross on the wall. And I said, you see that right there? And he goes, yes. I said, because of that, I got to tell you this. And I just started talking to him about Jesus. And this man makes a good deal of money. I don't care if he makes money or if he doesn't make money. I'm just trying to tell you who I ran into. Because everybody needs Jesus. And usually people that have money, they're very hard to get to Jesus. Because they're trying to fill themselves with all the things that they do. And what do I need Jesus for? Well, let's see. You're on your second or third wife. You're not happy. You can't sleep at night. You have to do drugs or drink, to live with yourself. You can't stand looking at yourself in the mirror. Other people don't trust you. I wonder why you would need Jesus. So I'm talking to this man. And I let him know, it's not you saying, I'm going to try to change my life and try to live for God. It's you saying, God, here's where I'm at. I'm a wretch. I'm a sinner. I'm a drug dealer. I'm a prostitute. I'm a whatever. God, I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a whoremonger. I'm an adulterer in my heart. God, here's where I'm at. God, I don't want to be here. This isn't what I want. There's no satisfaction in this. There's no contentment. There's no peace. God, I want you to take this out of me. I'm asking you to forgive me. And that's when you can see Jesus and understand. That's when you need to call out to God for mercy through the blood of Jesus. God, please don't let me get what I deserve. Jesus, I needed you to die for me. Now, Jesus, like I told this man, I said, you bring to God whatever's inside of you and you say, God, I don't want this. So I'm inviting you to remove this out of me. I'm breaking agreement with it. I don't want to be an adulterer. I don't want to be a whoremonger. I don't want to be a thief. I don't want to be selfish. Are you hearing me? This is so simple. But most people don't get this or they don't do it. And when you don't do it, it don't work. Hey, let me give you three words. Write them down. God's way works. I'm sorry. Let me say that again because I know you missed it. God's way works. Not your version of God's way. It's not the 10 suggestions. It's the 10 commandments. God's way works. When you do things God's way, it works. You can have peace like river. You can have peace like river. You can have joy like river in your soul. You got it? You could live hanging out with Him. You don't have to live in guilt and shame and burden. Do you understand? You don't have to go to hell. Paul goes to this, in this book was written or penned, God's the author, but he moved upon a guy named Paul. He basically said, Paul, I want you to write this. And he gave him every thought. And then he said, now write, no, don't write that. Write this. And he wrote it. So that's why it was word perfect. Okay? And he writes it out. Paul, this man who had been a sinner, this man who had gone around killing Christians, killing people that followed Jesus, and God caught him on the road one day, knocked him off his high horse. The dude's laying on the ground. And he said, and he hears his voice talking to him, Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus. This is in Acts chapter 9, if you want to go read it, about the first 10 verses. And he said, I'm Jesus, the one you're persecuting. And he said, what do you want me to do, God? And God made him blind for 3 days and said, go sit somewhere until I tell you what to do. And Paul, for 3 days, just sat there. He didn't eat or anything. He was just thinking he was doing right, thinking he was doing God's service, but he didn't know God from a donut. And the one that he was persecuting, Jesus, said, I got a plan for your life, and you're fighting against it. So God just kind of reached down and thumped him off his horse, made him blind, said, you think you can see? You can't see nothing. Says, now go take a time out, boy. See, God was the original one to give people time out. Okay? He said, go take a time out. And 3 days later, God had a man come and talk to him, and he said, now. He said, God has a call on your life. First he touched him, boom. He says, you're gonna see, boom. He sees. He says, now, God has a plan for your life, and his plan is for you to preach the gospel, for you to bring people to Jesus Christ. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the gospel. You'll find that in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. I quote a lot of verses and read verses, but I don't go give you all of them because some of you need to go look them up for yourselves. You need to go learn these for yourselves. Not just be sitting there like little babies being spoon-fed with Gerber baby food here today. But some of you may need to start off there, but God wants us to grow up. We need to take and read that word for ourselves. And he preached. He went to a seaport city at one point in his life called Corinth. And it was a very wicked city. A lot of stuff, because a lot of people were coming and going all the time, and they weren't like a good family town. And Paul was sent there, and he begins to preach the gospel about Jesus Christ. And while he did that, he's telling them, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? And then he says, and such were some of you. He gives a whole list. And he says, and such were some of you. He says, but now you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. He says, you are washed. I want you to look over in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. It says, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood, Jesus Christ. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood. You are washed. Everything. This is what we need to understand. You're washed. And then after you get washed by the blood of Jesus, then the Bible talks about us getting washed or cleansed by baptism. It's not that the baptism does it. It's an outward picture of just like you taking a bath or a shower at night. You do that to clean your body or in the morning whenever you take it. Okay? Well, it's a picture. That's what baptism is about. You are washed. And you've by baptism, you promise to put off all the filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit and to wash your bodies so that you can be pure unto God. He says you're sanctified. That means from being negative and contrary to the purpose of God's creation for your life. And sanctified from the earth or the worldly things. You're separated from earthly things to be connected with spiritual. You're separated from time to be connected with eternity. You're separated from idols to be joined to the living God. You're separated from the common, earthly, or sinful uses that we've done in our lives to be wholly employed in the service of the true God. God wants us to be separated. When you get saved because the Holy Spirit of God comes and touches on your heart. Comes and moves on your life. And he begins to deal in you. That's why the Bible says you got to be born again. Born of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes and works inside of you. The Holy Spirit comes and does the work. It's not one day you wake up and say, I think I'll get saved today. It's that you're going through life and God interrupts your life. He interrupts your life with truth. He interrupts your life with a need of what's going on. Do you need God? Do you need Him? Because until you realize you need Him, you can't get saved until you realize you're lost. Until you realize that you need help, you can't get the Savior. So Paul begins to preach the gospel to bring people to that place. He says, this is what you were. He says, but now you're washed. You see, I was the filthiest of sinners. But Jesus came along and washed me in His precious blood. He washed away all my sin. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You see, we start off as little babies. We don't have all this sin. We're more innocent. Babies are more innocent. But as we grow up, we agree with corruption. We agree with the devil. We agree with sin. And then we begin to have that living inside of us. And it corrupts our thinking. It corrupts our choices. It corrupts our life. When someone gets saved, what I love about verse 11 there is he says, and such were some of you, but you are washed. You are sanctified. You're set apart unto God. You are justified. That word justified is a legal term. That word justified means you've been brought into a state of favor with God. Your sins were blotted out through Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of God, when you're saved, bears witness inside of you. There's people that will tell you all you have to do to get saved is just ask Jesus in your heart. If that's all you need to do, why did Jesus die on the cross? It's not a formula of what you do. It's God, the Holy Spirit, dealing with you of where you're at. And then you admitting where you're at and realizing, I have no hope. I have no help where I'm at. I have nothing to get right with God with. I need help. That's when you see Jesus. That's when you realize Jesus is God in the flesh, on the cross for you. He died for you personally. He's available to everybody. He died for everybody, but He's only applicable to the individual when they accept Him. But they have to realize they need Him and admit that. When that happens, God comes and He washes you. He separates you. He begins to separate you unto Himself. Here's God. And He says, what you've been living for is the world. You've got your arms around the world. You're like living just like the world. You're living following them. God is wanting to separate you from them to Himself. He's not wanting you to live for sin. He's wanting you to live for the Savior. He's not wanting you to live for self. He's wanting you to live for others. He's not wanting you to live for what's wrong. He's wanting you to live for what's right. So He separates you. And that's what happens. It's a continual work. Sanctification or being separated unto God is a continual work of the Holy Spirit. I got it. It says you are washed when you accept Christ. You are saved. It's got to be God dealing with you. Do you remember when, let me just ask you, if I stopped here, let me ask you this one question. Do you remember when God dealt with you? And brought you to a place of you realizing, hey, I'm responsible for my sin and I'm on my way to hell. And there's nothing I can do about it. Do you remember that? Do you remember when God brought you to that place and in desperation you saw Jesus on the cross and thou, you wanted Him more than anything in your life? And you called out to God, please don't let me get what I deserve. And Jesus said, don't worry, I got what you deserve. I got what you deserve so you don't have to get it. I got what you deserve because I love you. I got what you deserve because you can't handle it. Because it would separate you from God forever. I got what you deserve. And at that moment, Jesus became precious to you. Do you remember that in your life? Do you remember when the Holy Ghost of God, you didn't see Him. You didn't understand everything that was happening. But now when I'm talking about it, is it ringing true inside of you? And you're going, I get it. It was the Holy Ghost was the Holy Ghost because it's, you can't see Him. So He's a ghost. Okay. The Holy Spirit of God was dealing with you. It's not that you came to a church, liked the people. Oh, I like the people. I'll join this club. It's not joining a club. It's you seeing your need, you admitting. By the way, do you know the only people God can help are those that are honest? If you won't be honest with yourself about yourself. See, we don't want to be honest about ourselves because it doesn't feel comfortable. We don't want to be honest. What we want to do is think, I'm a nice person. I'll try being nicer. I'll try helping other people. I'll tell you what, you want to go to heaven? Let me give you a way to go to heaven. Quit sinning. Like, don't sin. At all. Okay? Now, don't sin. You say, well, I'm doing good. I'm talking to those that are lost here today. Those that don't know Jesus. You may be a nice person. You may help other people. You may be a good worker. You may take good care of your family. You may live in moderation. But do you sin? Do you sin? I led my aunt to the Lord. She was 78 years of age. Led her to the Lord. Spunky lady. Nuts don't fall too far from the tree. And she and I were favorite relatives. She loved me to pieces. I loved her to pieces, Aunt Florence. My mom had had cancer surgery when I was in first grade and they had taken her up to Washington, D.C., and I lived in Florida. And so for a year or more, my Aunt Florence took care of me. And she said every day I'd come home from school, as I was walking home from school, little guy, you know, first grader, I'd be yelling out, Aunt Florence! And she said that's how I would call her every day I'd come home from school, you know. Aunt Florence! And she just loved me to pieces. I loved her. And at 78 years of age, after she had worked in the Pentagon and with several congressmen and all those type things, at 78 years of age, God had me deal with her one day, actually 2 days. And the first day she got mad at me because I talked to her about Jesus on the cross. And she got mad at me. I'd never seen Aunt Florence get mad. I don't remember really getting mad at me. She might have spanked me when I was a kid, but I don't really remember being mad at me, you know. And this day she got mad at me because I talked to her about Jesus on the cross. And she said, Harvey, I've always believed in Jesus as the little baby in the manger. I said, well, the story didn't stop there. I said, he was born to die. And he died because of our sin. My sin, Aunt Florence, and your sin. We are done talking, Harvey. That's fine. So I went home brokenhearted and I prayed for her. And I came back the next day. And I said, Aunt Florence, you remember that Bible you bought for me when I was selling Bibles? She goes, yeah. I said, well, I got one right here. You remember how neat it was? Like right here, how you could read it so easy? And I just started taking her through the Bible. And she ended up meeting Jesus at 78 years of age. Now, this is in Michigan. Or no, this is in Tallahassee, Florida. And she lived down in Winter Haven, which is by Orlando. And so we go down there to her house. She says, oh, I'm in a church down here after a couple years. She goes, I'm in a church down here, and I want you to come down here and visit my church. So I go down there to visit her church. And I'm sitting there, and the preacher's talking. And something he was saying just didn't sit right with me. Now, see, I don't know. I couldn't sit there like y'all and just sit there like a bump on a log. I can't do that. I'm sitting there, and that preacher's saying stuff that I don't agree, and I'm like, excuse me, right in the middle of the service. I don't care if it's in the middle of the service or not. I can't stand lies. And the preacher kept preaching and teaching that he never sinned. Done. The preacher standing up front in a group of about 200 or 300 people, and he said, I never sin. And I said, excuse me. And I interrupted so many times, they finally said, would you mind waiting until the end and talking to us? And I said, sure. And at the end, I went up to them, and a couple of my kids followed me. I'll never forget. And I said, you said you never sin. He said, no, I don't. So I started showing him this verse and showing him that verse. He's just arguing them away. Argue. Nope, I never sin. I'm saying this for a reason. So when I said to him, I said, God, what do I say to this guy? He doesn't think he sins. He said, ask him if he's married. I said, sir, are you married? He goes, yep. I said, do you have kids? He goes, yep. And I said to him, are they here? He goes, yep. I said, could we go ask them if you ever sin? His face immediately went beet red. He got mad. He stomped his feet and he turned around. He didn't want to talk no more. So I'm asking you, do you sin? Are you married? Do you have kids? Can we ask them? Oh, now watch what I'm going to say. Is this cool? Give me this. This is cool. I like it. I like this preaching. Okay. So if we got sin, what do we do with it? Do you know that sin has to be paid for? Sin is against God. Yes? Y'all got that? Oh, I'm sorry, I probably said it too fast. Sin is against God. Now, if sin has to be paid for, even if I could stop sinning right now, which I can't, my desire is to live for Jesus. My desire is to hang out with Him. I hope this is okay. My desire is to hang out with Him every day. Ouch. Somebody put a nail in this thing. My desire is to hang out with Him. But every day, I find myself, there's sin still inside of me. I still get mad at how all y'all drive on the road. It's my road. Why don't you get out of the way? They've got a lane for all of you to drive in, and then they've got the Harvey lane. Why don't you move over? I'm being funny here. But we all act like that. Many of you act like that. Don't lie to me. You're lying to yourself. You just wish they'd move over. Get out of the way. I didn't hit you. Why don't you move? So I don't hit you. And we start saying words. We're not praying for them. We're cursing them. We got sin. What are you going to do with that sin? I'm asking you. What are you going to do with that sin? Will you be honest about that sin? This is where I'm at, God. And this is what's true. But I don't want it to be true. But I can't quit. Can you quit sinning? Just do me a favor. Show me the hand that can quit sinning. Because I want to learn from you. Right? Okay. So what are you going to... Like I said, we have to be honest. The only ones God can help are those that are honest, okay? So the reason God, I feel like God's had me say this is so that we'll stop and we'll look at it and go, see, I'm saying it and being funny stuff, but we need to stop and look and go, wow, I do have sin. And if I die in my sin, that means I'm going to be separated from God. Because if you could take sin to heaven, it wouldn't be heaven no more. So what do I do with my sin? Either I try to fix it, or I bring it to one who died in my place. Get it? And so there's got to be a time of God dealing in you where you get convicted of your sin. And it's like, God, I don't want this. God, it's my sin that killed Jesus. It's not the sins of the world. It's my sin. Have you ever come to the place where it was, where you have admitted out loud, it's my sin that killed you, Jesus? Where God was dealing in your heart and breaking your heart, and you weren't laughing about it or making jokes or whatever. You were like, whoa, this is like heavy duty, the heaviest duty thing in my life I've ever experienced. Paul was dealing with people who were sinners of sinners. And he's listing all these things. And he says, these things, you can't go to heaven with these things. Adultery, being a queer, having that in your heart, being hateful and selfish and being a fornicator and being a liar and being a thief. He said, if it's in your heart, not necessarily that you even do it, but it's in your heart to do. Because Jesus came to deliver us, save us from ourselves. Jesus came to remove that sin, the power of that sin in your life, out of you. But you got, he won't come and take it out of you if you want to keep it. Well, I want to get saved. I want to go to heaven, but I still want to see my mistress. I want to get saved, but I don't want to give my life to God. I don't want to serve God. I don't want Him to be my Lord. Do you understand? It's like, I don't want anything to do with God. I just don't want to get the penalty for what I am doing. You don't use God. He doesn't just give you a blank check and say, oh, I'll just wink at your sin. But He loves you 100% right now, even if you're not choosing Him. He loves you and He pursues you. And He'll never give up on you. We are washed when you get saved. The word to be saved, have you ever been in a boat that was sinking? Have you ever been in a, I bet you've never been in a plane that was falling. Okay, that was humor. Okay, I don't know if y'all got it. But anyway, have you ever been surrounded by a gang that was going to beat you up, maybe did worse than that. And you wish someone was there to save you out of it. That's what that word saved is about. Being saved from what we deserve, from what we've brought on ourselves, which is damnation, which is punishment, which is separation from God. To be saved is for God to save you out of that. But you first have to realize you're in that. I was surrounded by a gang one time. There was about 40 of them. I wanted to be saved out of that. I was completely opposite of them. And I did not want to be there. The process is plain and simple. Paul preached the gospel at Corinth, and he besought the people to turn from darkness to light. God, I don't want darkness. I want light. From idols to the living God. You know what an idol is? We all worship something. If I could ask you a few questions, or if you let me look at your checkbook or how you spend your money, I could tell you what you worship. Most people worship themselves because they just live for themselves. What pleases them? What makes me happy? They don't care about the other person. They care about themselves first. But there's other idols we worship. There's fame. There's our job. There's all kinds of things people worship. Other gods. Believing in other gods besides Jesus. Though they're false gods, they believe in them. He says, I beg you to turn from darkness to light, from idle vanities to the living God, and to believe in the Lord Jesus for the remission or the removal of your sins. The people who heard Paul were convinced of the divine truths. Today when I'm talking, is it ringing true inside of you or am I making this up? I'm just waiting for an answer. Is it ringing true or am I making it up? when you read this word of God, does it do something inside of you? You find that it's ringing true, even when it's saying stuff you don't want to hear or stuff you don't like. Inside, you know it's true. The people who heard were convinced of the divine truths delivered by the Apostle Paul, and they flocked to baptism. In other words, they got saved, and they said, I want to show everybody that I believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. You know how we have this cattle trough out here? You know, you could, cattle could come up and drink out of it. You know what I'm talking about, a cattle trough? We got one out here. We fill it with water, and we have people sit in that cattle trough. Are you trusting in Christ as your Savior? Yes, I want everyone to know. See, they don't even have to say words, but what they're doing when they get baptized, they're showing everybody that I believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. I want to die, God, to my old way. I want to be raised to walk a whole new way, raised to walk your way. Live like you, Jesus. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and thus they took upon them the public profession of the gospel. They began to publicly tell people, just by getting baptized, that they believed in Jesus Christ as God, and that their life was committed to Him. Being now baptized into the Christian faith, they were separated from idols and idolaters, and they became connected or incorporated with a church that was God's. As penitents, or people that had repented, they were led to the Lord Jesus for justification. Justification, when you get saved, before you get saved, you have to come to the place of realizing that if you stood before God right now, God would say, you are guilty. To be justified means when you come to God, and like if somebody asked me, see, I've asked this question hundreds of thousands of times across the country. If you were to die right now, are you listening? If you were to die right now and stand before God, and He said to you, why should I let you into heaven? What would your answer be? What if He handed you a Bible and said, look in the Bible here and show me in the Bible why I should let you into heaven? And people will answer me all kinds of things. I'm a good person. I believe in God. I go to church. I help other people. All these things that I hear people say. I take care of my family. And then I say to them, what if Jesus Christ walked right up next to you and the Father said, what is it you did that's equal to what Jesus did? Because I accepted Him. Remember, I raised Him from the dead. I accepted His offering. He offered me His life. I picked it up. Now, what is it you're offering me that's equal to what Jesus did? And by the way, where's the blood in your offering? Because in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, 9:22, it says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. For your sin to be paid for, you have to offer Him blood. And normally when I say that to people, it's only happened to me a couple hundred thousand times when I say this to an individual, and they always go, because they don't know how to answer. I say, what is it you did that's equal to what Jesus did, and where's the blood in your offering? Because I said, what would you offer God of why He should let you into heaven? I'm a good person. I try hard. I'm a good worker. I pay my bills. I go to church. And God says, where's the blood in your offering? And then I say, and I let them sit there for a minute. And then I say to them, ask me the question. Why should, ask me, Harvey, why would God, what would you say to God if He said, why should I let you into heaven? And I would say, God, you ought to send me to hell. That's what I deserve. I deserve to go to hell for everything I've ever done. I deserve to go to hell. But I believe that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. I believe He died on the cross for me, and I'm offering you His blood for my sin. I'm trusting in Him, and what He did was for me. Will you accept this? And He says, that's the only thing I do accept. the blood of Jesus? Have you ever offered Him the blood of Jesus for your sin? See, just believing in Jesus is like believing in this chair, but it's not holding you up. You have to believe on it. There has to come a time where you trust on Jesus. You come and depend completely on Him. I have nothing else to do. I'm resting in what Jesus did. Jesus died for me, and that's enough. I needed you, Jesus, to die for me. And then God says, you are justified. That means you are not guilty anymore. I'm declaring you innocent. You're standing before the throne of God, the courtroom of heaven, and God says you're guilty. And when you offer Him the blood of Jesus, He says, case dismissed. You are not guilty. You are innocent. Justified means just as if you had never sinned. God says, I see you through the blood of Jesus, and it's just as if you had never sinned. You are completely justified by God. If you look in the mirror today and you justify yourself, but it's not through the blood of Jesus, you're only deceiving yourself. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Don't be deceived. You see, when you know this and you're born again, this ought to make you like so excited. You're washed. You're sanctified. You're justified in the name of Jesus Christ, the name above every name, and by the Holy Spirit of God, by the Spirit of the living God. He's the one who does the work in you. It's not you trying to be worthy. It's not you trying harder. It's the work of the Holy Spirit inside of you making you right with God. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. I just want to read the verses again, and we're going to be done. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed. Ye are sanctified. Ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I just lied. I told you I was going to stop. I want to read a few verses and then we're going to stop. Okay? Turn over to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Let's do this quick. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. See, I told you I sin every day. I just lied. Okay? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And you hath He quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past, in your past life, you walked according to the course of this world. You lived like other people that are not following God, according to the prince of the power of the air. You let the devil live through you. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you, and you become a child of obedience. You start wanting to obey God, living for God. Before that, you have a spirit inside of you, and you become a child of disobedience. Turn to chapter 5 and verse 8. Chapter 5, verse 8. He says, you were sometimes darkness before you met Jesus, but now are ye light in the Lord. And then He gives us an admonition, a warning. Walk as children of light. That will help you to live full of peace and joy, because you're going to be able to look God eyeball to eyeball. When you mess up, fess up. God, I did it. Please forgive me. I don't want to do this. Would you come deliver me? And He says, I'll be glad to. That's right. I'm all about you. He's like, you know that God's focus is you? Our focus needs to be Him, but His focus is you. He's consumed with you. Man, I get excited about that. Colossians Turn over to Colossians. There's Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Two books over. Chapter 3, verse 7. Talk about in the past. In the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. He's going back, verse 5 and 6. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, unnatural affection, evil, concupiscence, which means loose living, covetousness, wanting what somebody else has, idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. The last passage, Titus, is that where I want to be, Titus? Yeah, Titus chapter 3. So if you're in, if you find Timothy, Thessalonians, then Timothy, Titus is the next book. Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 6. For we ourselves also, in the past, were sometimes foolish. I was very foolish. Disobedient. I was disobedient. Deceived. I was deceived. Serving divers lust and pleasure. That word divers means various. So I served various lust, strong evil desire, and pleasures. I just lived for pleasure. Living in malice and envy, being hateful. Well, that's what the next one says. Hateful and hating one another. But after, listen, look at this. Are you in Titus 3? I want you to see this because this is so cool. Look at verse 4. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. I told you, I was smoking a joint reading the Bible when God came and started dealing with me. How kind could he be? I was as wretched as you could be. And here's Jesus. After that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward Harvey appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. I didn't do anything right. But according to his mercy, he saved us. Mercy is when you don't get what you deserve. What did I deserve? I can't hear you. Hell? What else? Punishment? Everything bad. I deserved it. You know, we have bad things happen and we go, why, God? And if he was, if he wanted to, he could say, you want a list? You want a list? But he doesn't do that. But that's what Harvey deserved. Death, hell, separation from God, misery, torment. And I had all those things in my life. But according to his mercy, he saved me. How? By the washing of regeneration. That's the Holy Spirit washing me in the blood of Jesus. And washing me from what I was. Washing it out of me. Giving me a whole new clean start. And the renewing of the Holy Ghost, or renewing by the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. By the way, a little note and then we'll be done. Look at verse 4. It says, the love of God our Savior. Look at verse 6. Jesus Christ our Savior. You see, Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. That's just one more place in the Scripture where it teaches it. We were this before you get saved. When you get saved, you are washed by God. You are set apart from the world unto God. And then it's a continual process that the Holy Spirit works in you. Have you met Jesus? And then he's dealing with you and you find that you're kind of fighting against God. You're kind of wrestling with him. Anybody want to be honest? Guess what? If I knew how, I'd kick myself because I've done that so many times. Why would I argue with God? He's got what? I know it. He calls us sheep. Dumb sheep. Actually, both. We break his law and then his law breaks us. Well, that's why it says you could fall on the rock of Christ or you could have the rock fall on you. And you could be crushed. You know what? I love you. And I'm so glad you're here. And I don't want you to ever not be here for your sake. Not for my sake. We had church for 4.5 years, and it was 2 of us. My wife, God told me to start a church of 2. We had had a church. Cheryl was going there. Steve was going there. It was out on 92nd Street, and God said, shut it. We shut it. I said, where do you want us to go to church now? And God said, well, I got something different for you to do. He said, I want you to start a church, but it's just for you and your wife. And when other people ask you where your church is, because everybody did, he said, tell them, you can't come. Because God said, I'm doing something in you, and I don't want you to be distracted with everybody. And because I'm such a quick learner, it only took 4.5 years. Okay? So for 4.5 years, we had a church of 2. I don't know how to say this. This is for you. Do you understand? This is to help you. Now hear me. If you think this is, what's that place called? If you think this is like Golden Corral, and you get to pick and choose what you're going to eat, the process is just going to take longer. I'm telling you. But if you come here because God wants you here, and you submit and say, God, I don't want you to just be Jesus Christ. I want you to be the Lord Jesus Christ of my life. I want you to be the Lord, the Master, the Boss, the one who controls, the one who calls the shots, the one who's got your hands on the steering wheel of my life. I want you to be my Lord. And you submit to Him and say, I'm going to listen. I'm going to pick up the Word when they say pick up the Word. I'm going to read it. When the preacher says to do something, I'm not going to say, oh, that's just his opinion. Why do you think I'm saying it? It's to help you. If you don't think I'm following God for you to follow me, then go somewhere where you think the man's following God. But if I'm following God, do what we tell you that will get you closer to God. Like, read the Word every day. Pray about everything. Talk to God about everything. You listen? Include God in everything you do. Maybe some of the things you do will change. I dare you to start including God in everything you do. God, would you come bless this? And down inside, when you have this stinking feeling like, I couldn't bless that, then don't you do it either. Because you want to hang out. Thanks for being here again. You get to hang out with God, see? You just hang out with the Father. You just like sit on His lap all day. You know what I'm saying? If you ever learn to hang out with God just a little, I am telling you, you're going to get so addicted. You're going to get so addicted. I'm trying to end this thing, but I want to tell you one more story. I'm working in a shop. At that time, there was probably only about 40 people working there. But you couldn't find God in that place if you tried. Except over in my little corner. And in my little corner, of course, Harvey being the shy, retiring little person that he is, I took my Kennedy Rollaway toolbox, and I put it right in the middle of the shop. And I opened the Bible on top, and I put a sign in the top of my toolbox that faced the aisle. You know what the sign said, so everybody could read it? God's last name is not damn, okay? Because I'm so shy. So I put it out there right in front of God to everybody. So every day the owners came in and they saw it. And one of the owners, that's why I couldn't get a raise for 19 months there, because he did not like me because I messed with him. Because I just kept my Bible. All I did was have my Bible there. He never talked to me. All I did was have my Bible there with a sign. God's last name is not Damn. That's all I did. When I went there, a lot of the guys used God's name. They thought his last name was Damn. But guess what? When I put that sign up there, I didn't go around telling them, hey, potty mouth, why don't you change how you... You know, I didn't do that. I just put the sign up there in my Bible. The language in that shop changed. Then they made me run the shop. It was about 70 guys or so. And I would walk up to a group of guys and I would hear them using all this language. And when they would see me, all of a sudden, they could hardly talk. Because they wouldn't cuss when I was around. So they were trying to learn how to talk when I was around, you know. Now listen to what I'm saying. I was in a shop where you couldn't find God in that place. I was in another shop with 200 men, same thing. I was in another shop at GM, same thing, but it was a few thousand people. Now listen to me. Oh, Pastor Harvey, what you're talking about, yes, it's all nice when we're here, but you can't live that way out there. I'm talking to you about living. I'm talking to you about how to live everywhere. Are you listening to me? Hanging out with Jesus. Hanging out with Him. You and Him. Hanging out heart to heart. Best buddies. You understand? Hanging out in His love and in His peace and His joy. Do you want that? Okay, one of you does. Two of you. Three of you. Oh, you want that? I'm teaching you how to do it. Are you listening? Now, you don't have to go and get a toolbox and put a big sign, God's last name is not Damn, and put a Bible out there. But what you do is you, are you ready? Get these three words. You're going to say them with me after I say them, okay? We're going to say them a couple times. You ready? You're going to practice His presence. Practice His presence. Wait a minute. We're all going to say it together. Practice His presence. Okay, say it together in English. Practice, not Bosnian. Practice His presence. I'm sorry. One of these days, I'm going to learn Bosnian, you know. You know, I do it already. Okay, I got it. All right. Ready? Practice His presence. Realize that Jesus is right here. He wants to carry you through the day. Do you know what would make God's day? If you said, Jesus, would you pick me up and carry me next to your heart? Because that's where I'd like to hang out today. And he's like, I was just waiting for you to ask me that. He said, that's what would make my day. Hanging out next to his heart. He wants to pick, if I could, I'd pick up this guy and hold him next to my heart. Probably break my back to do it. But for God, it would be like light work. It'd be kind of like Ed carrying me. It'd be light work for God. He wants you to practice His presence. Do you realize He's right here? Do you realize He'll never leave you nor forsake you? Do you realize if you do wrong, He's right there? Do you realize if you're in need, He's right there? Do you realize if you're in pain, He's right there? Whatever kind of pain. God, I can't handle this. Would you please heal me? Or would you give me the grace to go through this? Because sometimes He's not going to heal you right then. I don't know why. I'm looking forward to asking Him that when I get to heaven. Because there's many times He's healed me, boom, just like that. And there's other times, God, why aren't you healing me? But I believe you. I believe you're going to heal me. I'm just waiting for it to happen. But God, if you're not going to heal me right now, would you give me the grace? Would you give me the ability to go through this? I need you. God, I'm hanging out with all these godless people at work. God, I don't want to go through the days like I've been. I don't want to become a chameleon and act like them when I'm around them and then go act like a Christian when I'm at church. God, I want to practice your presence. Make your presence real to me. Help me to realize, like in the scripture where he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Another place in the scripture, he says, my son, thou art ever with me. You know, if I didn't care about you, I could just preach a shorter sermon. But because I care about you, my heart, it's like, I want you to own this so much. I want you to have this more than your breath. Because this will help you in your marriage. This will help you in dealing at work. This will help you with your kids. This will help you when you're looking in the mirror, you're laying there at night, you can't sleep. You don't need drugs. You don't need drinking. You don't need entertainment. You need Jesus. In a minute, we're going to give an altar call, Paula, and you can... Is everybody getting this? Did you get something? I'm just asking. Did you get something today that would help you for your life this week? Because I don't want to just teach on stuff just to fill your head with a bunch of knowledge. I want to give you something that will help you to be true, to be faithful, to have joy, to have peace. That's what I want to help you. Did you get something today that would help you? Jesus, I commit the words, I commit this whole time into your hands. I commit these people into your hands. God, I love them. I know you do because you put it in me, because I'd just be selfish without you, Lord. And I just love these people, and I thank you that you've brought them here. And Lord, I am asking that you would take your words, your message, you, Holy Spirit, quicken, make alive inside of each one what they need today. Maybe decisions they need to make today. I'm going to live for light, not dark. I'm going to live for Jesus, not this idol. I want to be others-minded, not selfish. I just want to serve you, Jesus. I need you. Teach me, teach us how to practice your presence. So everywhere we go, no matter who else is there, I've always got you. Never leave you. Never, and when I mess up, I'd fess up. I'd just confess it and bring it under your blood and ask you to forgive me that for hurting you. And then watch your face, watch your eyes light up and say, I've already forgiven you. Now, let me cleanse you. Let me make you have peace again. And Lord, we would learn to live in your peace. I'm asking that. Help us to learn to live in your peace, in oneness with you, Jesus. Thank you.